The message that the Lord's prepared today is the victory of God's children. We have victory over the world. And you know, when I come in this morning, I says, don't pay the ransom because I've escaped. Well, you know what the beauty of it is? We've all escaped. We've all escaped sin and death by the ransom that was paid for us through Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today. But not only have we escaped sin and death, but He has given us complete victory. Victory in Jesus Christ. And it's not just victory in and of ourselves, but victory over the world. Nothing can stand against us because we are in Christ and He is in us. Amen. So that's going to be the message today. So you can go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to cover two verses. And it usually takes me about an hour. So hang on. So if you get tired, just stand up a little bit, stretch or whatever. But I wanted to go over the outline, just kind of let people know where we're at, because we are starting in a new section. I won't cover the entire outline, but if you look at the 1 John outline that we did at the beginning of 1 John about 6 months ago, it seems like, as we're in the results of His fellowship, we are transitioning from we live as a child of God into the victory of God's children. And what's neat about this transition is it's all done as we're perfected in the love of Christ. So we're going to read 1 John 5:1 through 5, but I'm going to focus on verses 4 and 5 and then bring in other verses as the Lord leads. What we're going to look at today is victory over the world. And because we have victory over the world and we see Him in our lives and we experience that victory, John assures us in this book that we have our salvation. You don't have to worry whether or not you're saved. We have salvation in Christ and in Him alone. We abide in Him and He in us. You never have to worry about your salvation. And He encourages us each and every day and proves it to us by the victory and the walk or the race that we run in Him each and every day. And then we'll see that we get guidance through prayer, and we will then and ongoingly have freedom from habitual sin. So this is what we're going to focus on for the next few weeks. But today we're going to focus on that victory, because you know what? It all begins and ends in faith, faith in Him, and faith in that victory. So let's go ahead and open in prayer, and I'll read His word. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for this message. Thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit, because only in the power of the Holy Spirit can we be changed. Father, and we know we're changed through Your word, spoken in Your power, in the truth, the Spirit of truth. And Father, we just thank You for that. And Father, just speak through me today in the Spirit of truth and only in the Spirit of truth. And prepare each and every heart here to hear what You have to say and open up the eyes of our heart to see You more clearly and to have more of You as our life. That's what we desire, Father. And may we then be better prepared to fight the battles, God's battles, because even though the victory is already won, we're still required to fight Your battles, because that's what's going to prove our faith. That's what's going to perfect us in Your love, as we learn to trust completely in You and to surrender all to You through Your Spirit. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead. We're going to read 5:1 through 5. And it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? All right, so our faith is the victory that we have. Our faith gives us victory as we're perfected in His love. Believe in Jesus Christ, love one another, and in faith we overcome the world. It's that simple. Believe in Jesus, love one another, and in faith we overcome the world. That's being perfected in His love. A quick review of what we covered last week. Believe or have faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, our Savior. Those that do are born of God. Or we say they're born again, born of the Spirit. Those born of God not only love God and Christ, but they love each other. Because we all are members of the family of God. And we love our brothers and sisters in Christ through God's agape love, supernatural love. Not a love that we can produce in and of ourselves. Not an emotional love, but a supernatural love that's poured out on our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we share with each other. Because all those who are begotten of Christ love those who also have been begotten. So we love him who begot, and we love all those who are begotten. So we are born into the family of God through Jesus Christ by believing on him. And then we'll love each other as family members. He goes on to say in verse 2, we know we love the children of God if we obey God's commandments. As John had boiled down all the commandments into one, back in 1 John 3:23, he said, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. So that's what it all boils down to. Love Jesus, love one another, and then in faith we overcome the world. So as we've said before, loving Jesus takes care of the first four of the Ten Commandments. What are the first four Ten Commandments? Has to do with godliness. It says, do not worship any other god. Do not make any idols. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy, or if you will, rest in the Lord as far as how we apply it. And then loving one another completes all of the rest of the Ten Commandments. As Paul says in Romans 13, 8 through 10, he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what righteous living is. Right living. Treating others as you would be treated, as you would desire to be treated. The golden rule, so to speak. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, Paul says, love is the fulfillment of the law. So we keep the commandment then, which is all the commandments combined into one. So this is the love of God, keeping his commandments, and it's not burdensome. Because when you love someone and you do things for them, it's not a burden, it's a joy. Just like with your wife or your husband. When you love your wife and your spouse, you'll want to do for them. Because that love is in you to do so. It gives you pleasure to do the little things for them. And when you do the little thing, guess what? It brings them joy. But not as much joy as you, the giver. Right? And that's the joy of the Lord, giving his love. And then when we have that, his commandments are not a burden, and loving one another is not a burden. Today, what we're going to focus on is verses 4 and 5, and on overcoming the world. And we do this through faith in Jesus Christ, as by faith we live in his victory, and not our own, but strictly the faith that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him, a growing, loving relationship. That's the faith that not only saves, but that's the faith that gives us victory over the world. As our relationship with Jesus grows, our faith or our trust in him grows. And I like to use faith as an acronym. Father, ask, I trust him. That's what faith is. Father, ask, I trust him. What did he do to gain that trust? He gave his divine expression of love, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And he gave us the conviction of the Holy Spirit to believe in that gift of grace. And then, the moment we believe, we get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He indwells us because not only is grace a gift, but that faith that we have is also a gift. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not from ourselves. It is a gift from God. That's the promise that He gives us. That's the gift that He gives us. Now, once we have that faith, it's not expected to be stagnant or static. It's something that's going to grow as we grow in Christ, and He grows in us, if you will. So we're going to be looking at today. So we're experiencing Jesus as God's divine expression of love, and our knowledge of Him grows. And as our knowledge of Him grows, our faith and hope also grow as we are perfected in His love. You know, Romans 1:17 says, "For in it, the good news of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we come to know Jesus through that gift of faith that we just talked about, the good news of Jesus Christ. This good news tells us how God makes us right then in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life, or that the just shall live by faith, as it says in Habakkuk 2:4. So the just shall live by faith. From beginning to end, it's a matter of faith. The gift of faith, the life of faith, and then as required, He will give us supernatural faith to stand in Him and to stand in His victory, because He will never give us more than we can handle. It's always in, to, and through Him that we do anything, or for Him that we do anything. So, our faith and our hope grows. That's what allows us to overcome the world. That's what allows us to understand that we are born of God. You know, when we first come to faith, it's like when you first meet your spouse-to-be. You don't have a real good relationship. So what do? You ask a lot of questions and you start developing a relationship. And as you feel those seeds of love growing, what do you want to do? You want to spend time with them. You want to nurture that relationship. And as you nurture that relationship, what happens? Your love grows. Your knowledge of them is increased. And what else happens? Your trust increases. Well, that trust is what we call faith. So as we spend time with Jesus, from faith to faith, our trust in Him will grow. That's the essence and the key for us experiencing the victory. Jesus says we have it already. Our problem is we don't experience it very often, because we lose our trust from time to time because of the circumstances. But what does the Word say? We walk by faith and not by sight. Regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what is surrounding us, regardless of what's happening to us, if we will rest in Him, trust in Him, He will give us exactly what we need when we need it. May not give us what we want, because who likes trials and tribulations? I don't. Hey, raise your hands if you like trials and tribulations. I'll make you the minister of trials and tribulations. But we were crucified with Christ, so therefore we're going to suffer. We're going to participate in His suffering as well. Paul says we participate in His suffering. That's all part of this life. Why? To prepare us for eternity. Our faith is being prepared for eternity. Just like our eternal soul. Guess what? Part of your soul, a big part of your soul, is that faith that you're developing. You don't get a new soul when you go to heaven. This soul that you have right now is going to make that transition with you. Guess what you're going to take? The faith you're developing here. To make that transition. That's a big jump of faith. A big leap of faith, right? Because He says we're to be witnesses unto the end. Martyr. Not so much dying as somebody killing you for your faith, but to the end, being a witness, a martyr, with your last breath, praising the Lord. Praising Him for what He has done into and through you. And for the blessings and the promises that were fulfilled in your life. And most importantly, for you to share how faithful He was with others with that last breath you have here on earth. And guess where our next breath is then? In heaven with Him. And what do we look forward to Him saying? Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what victory in Jesus is all about. That's what overcoming this world is all about. Remembering, believing, hanging on to that we're citizens of heaven, not of this world. But we have a mission to do here. We have spiritual battles to fight. We are Christian soldiers and sailors. I was in the Navy. I was good because we're ship shape, right? Discipleship, fellowship, worship. Right, we do all that, so we're shipshape, so we're Christian sailors too. And sonship. Don't forget about sonship. That comes first. All right. So, in Him, we live this life. For what purpose? To glorify Him through His Son, Jesus, and through the power of His Spirit. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you a helper, my advocate, a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that's how we operate. That's how everything gets done. Amen? So, that's victory in Jesus. And, you know, we've stated previously that agape love is the catalyst, the why for everything that we do in Christ. That's what John has portrayed for us all through the book of 1 John. Love is the catalyst. If you know, you love the Lord, you're going to be obedient. You love the Lord, you're going to love others. Why? Because His love is poured out on us. Well, if love is the catalyst, then faith is the qualifier and the prime mover for what we do in Christ. That's the prime mover. It's a qualifier because, again, as we said, we're saved by grace through faith, that gift that He's given us. But then everything else we've done, or will do, I should say, in Him is done as a step of faith. And when we take those small steps of faith, guess what? They lead to larger steps. And pretty soon, we're walking in Christ, and pretty soon, we're running that race of endurance, which is what this life is all about. And this life that's a race is not a wind sprint. It's a marathon. It's going to last the rest of your life. Pace yourself in Christ. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't get behind Him. What does John say? Walk in unity with Him. Walk in the Son's light. When you're in unity with Christ, you will not cast any shadow in the Son's light. Shadow representing darkness. So stay in step with Him. That's what it means to wait on the Lord and for the Lord. And that's what we're to do as part of our victory. Not to get ahead of Him. Not to get out in the enemy's camp without the captain of our army. The one who's going to do all the battles for us, or the fighting for us, because He says the victory's already ours. He's taken the ground. We just got to go there and stand in the full armor of God and move forward as He says. So that's where we're at. That's what we do. And of course, as I said, how is it done? It's always done by the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, in the kratos, might of the Holy Spirit, in the ischus, strength of the Holy Spirit. The kratos might is the might of God's will, allowing us to overcome our own will. And the strength, the ischus strength, is the ability to stand against all odds and to stand in faith. Stand as the enemy is coming against you. Stand firm in that full armor of God. And He is faithful. And now, abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love, all of which are supplied by the Spirit. Why is the greatest of these love? Because He first loved us. We could do nothing without His love. Nor would we want to do anything, because that's the why. The why is because He first loved us, poured out His Spirit in our heart through the Holy Spirit, and therefore our response is in kind. In love, and that's what gives us the desire to please Him. That's what gives us the desire to be built up in faith, to stand against the enemy, to put on that armor. You got to get out of bed and put on the armor. That's not an easy thing sometimes. I know I'm retired, but we got to do it, and we do it willingly. Even when we don't want to in our minds, our own carnal minds, but in the mind of Christ, what does He do? I love you. I gave myself for you. Oh, Lord, thank you. If that isn't a motivator, I don't know what is. And He says that we're to love one another as He has loved us. He gave His life for others. How do we give our lives for others? By dying to self. Because you can't love your neighbor or love one another unless you die to self. Get me, myself, and I out of the way and walk in the love of the Lord. Share that love He's given you. And remember, love covers a multitude of sins. No matter what somebody does to you, love them. Look what God forgave you. Just look what He's forgiven you. But just think about that. If He's willing to do that for us, how little we need to do. Because it's all done through Him anyway. And it's not a burden. So, verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? All who believe Jesus is the Son of God. And what we need to understand is that because we are born of God, we are all overcomers. John makes it perfectly clear, we're all overcomers. You believe. Believing is a verb, not a noun, not something you do one time. It's a lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. You're an overcomer. Well, what if I was to die today and I didn't have a chance to do anything? Well, God had it planned today. You know what I mean? Go for it. You know, you're perfect in whatever stage of development He has you in. Because we are perfectly perfected in Christ. It's His righteousness, not ours. It's His righteousness that will show through us as we develop in faith. But it is His righteousness that we stand in. Not anything that we do or don't do. But as we grow in that relationship with Christ, as we yield our life to Him through the Spirit, then His righteousness will shine through. The sun's light will shine through us. That's what it means to be like that city on a hill, that beacon. And believe it or not, we're in a dark and dying world. And as the economical situation gets worse, and the times get tougher, and more people are looking for the answer, we have all the right answers. And it's one word, Jesus. And that's what we're to do, is share that with them. And how do we share that with them? Like, oh man, I'm really worried about what's going on too. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to, you know, I should plant a garden. No, I should can. I should buy a farm. Well, if the Lord leads you to do that, then do all those things. But if you're being like a pagan, stop it. Pray about it. Have Him lead. He said He is going to provide. He says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be provided unto you. He says, look at the birds. Look at the lilies. Look at all these things. Doesn't He love us more than all of that? He didn't give His life for the lilies and the birds. He gave His life for us. He will clothe us. He will feed us. He will care for us. He will take care of us because He loves us. And that's what we have faith in. That's what faith is all about. Father, ask I trust Him. If He was willing to give His Son to die for me, why wouldn't I trust Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we are the apples of God's eye. That was our message last week. We are perfect in Christ and in His righteousness. We appear as those ripe, delicious apples to God the Father right now. Perfectly perfected in Christ. Begotten as children of God by Him. Therefore, as I said, wherever we are in that development stage, don't worry about it. Don't fret. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him in the Word, applying His will for your life through the Word, through the life. He says He's the way, the truth, and it doesn't stop there. It's the life. Don't forget the third phase. He operates in three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The way, the truth, and the life. And the life we live is a life in faith. So wherever we're at in our development stage, God does make little green apples. That's what we talked about last week. I wished I had that song. We were going to change that song. God does make little green apples. And where does it rain at? In Indianapolis in the summertime. Right? He does make little green apples. What we got to remember is that as we look at each other, God sees us as those fully developed apples. But when we look at each other, just think about, man, you're going to be delicious when you ripen. You know? But remember, we're all green apples or yellow apples or whatever stage in ripening we are. As long as we hang on the tree of life. And who is the tree of life? Jesus Christ. Or as He says, the true vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I will abide in you. Through me you can do all things. Without me you can do nothing. So, abide in the true vine. Our faith is the victory that has overcome the world. John, in verse 4, makes an unequivocal statement. Born of God, you have overcome the world. The children of God have victory over the world through faith. Why is that? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, little green apples. Relax. Don't let the pest bug you. Don't worry about it. The sun's going to ripen you. You're going to get fed. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? Overcome the world. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We don't have faith in ourselves. I don't have faith in me implementing anything I read in the Bible. I have faith in Jesus Christ doing it in me. And doing whatever calling he has through me. And living in him and for him. It's not what I do. It's what he's doing. That's what surrendering is all about. Stop living your life for yourself. That's the biggest revelation that a life of faith is all about. Live for him. He died for you. Live for him. And he doesn't, you know, leave you as an orphan without the tools to do it. He's put the Holy Spirit in you. What is faith? But trusting in Jesus. It's not a blind faith. He's given us the Holy Spirit, his advocate, his helper, his comforter. Well, our comforter and helper, his advocate, right? What do I mean by advocate? Try to do something wrong. I should not have done that, right? Or before you even do it, right? Do you ever have what you call that gut feeling? For me, I get big gut feelings. But and I know it's wrong, but in the flesh, I'll do it anyway. And then what? Something is like, I told you, right? But he doesn't say, I just told you so. What does he do? He gives you a word from the Bible. He gives you that conviction. He leads you into the word. He gives you correction. He gives you instruction. And then what does he do? He gives you encouragement. Dusts you off, picks you up, and puts you back on that path. It says, get him, tiger. Right? Walk in me. Walk in me. Stop doing it yourself. Stop being yourself except in me. What is living in Christ but be who you are in Christ? What you are his children and his ambassadors. Live your life that way. Remember who you're representing. Remember who is living in you. Who you're living for. And I think we can keep that life of victory in proper perspective because the Holy Spirit is our seal and our guarantee that he is all that he said he was and all his promises are true. Look, if God can live in you, he can do anything. And I'm talking about just myself. You know, these earthen vessels, these bodies are his temple. How's our temple these days? Is it clean? Or has he got to go in there and clean it out like he did the temple in Jerusalem? Our heart is his home. And we got a little pamphlet on that, by the way. You know, our heart is his home. I don't make this stuff up. You know, it's in the Word. How's our home look for him? How's it look from the inside out? Because that's what he does. He cleans us from the inside out. So we've overcome the world in the victory won at the cross by Jesus Christ, saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, as we said. It's a gift from God. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 and give you the definition of faith as Peter described it. I believe it was, I'm sorry, Paul described it. I could call it Peter because nobody really knows for sure whether it's Paul or whoever it is that wrote Hebrews, but I'm going to say it's Paul. Let's go ahead and read how Paul defined what faith is in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. You go ahead and turn there if you want. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I like the New Living Translation version of verse 1. New Living Translation says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. I like that. Faith is believing that what you hope for is going to actually happen. Having that confidence. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. We can't see Jesus, but we see Him operating in us. We see Him moving the world and the circumstances for our own good. Right? All things work to the good for those who love the Lord and are thee called according to His purposes. So no matter what's going on, just remember it's all for our own good. He moves the world. He moves heaven and earth, so to speak, to bring about what He desires in our life so that we will trust and live and love Him and love each other and hang on to the promises that He's given us because they're all true. You know, we talked about this before. You think the virgin birth is a miracle? I believe it's no less a miracle for the Spirit of God to live in us. The seed of God, the Holy Spirit, to be born again in us. What a miracle that is. If we just think about it in that perspective, how hard is it then to live and trusting in Him? If God can do that, as I said, He can do anything, and He will do anything. He will move heaven and earth to complete the plan He has for your life. And we know that hope in Jesus does not disappoint because He loved us and gave His life for us. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So faith is the confidence we have that the things hoped for will actually occur. And now Romans 5:5 says that hope doesn't disappoint. If Jesus died for you, called you, gave you that seed of God in you, you're not going to be disappointed. It's going to come true. He's going to change you. And you know what the evidence of believing in Jesus is? A changed life. If your life hasn't changed, go seek God. Ask Him into your life. In fact, after this message, I'll give an altar call. But you don't need me. You know the sinner's prayer I like? Jesus, help. Help me. Because it's a heart condition. Not the words you say from your mouth, although we do confess with our mouth and are saved, but it says we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And with our mouths that we confess and are saved. And all who confess the Lord will be saved. Confess, meaning truly, in that heart condition. Second verse of Hebrews 11 there, it says, in faith the elders of the Old Testament gave a divine report of the coming Messiah. We don't have to give a report of the coming Messiah. We can testify what Jesus is doing in our lives. We can give a clear witness because our lives are changed. We can give that clear witness. And that is a demonstration of faith. Taking a step of faith to share what God has done in your life is what being an ambassador for Christ is all about. And we do it more by action than we ever do by what we say. What is truth but when our words match our deeds? We live in Christ in deed and in truth, right? So our words will match how we live. And then in verse 3 of Hebrews 11:1-3, it says, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, created all things. And this is described in the Word as well in John 1:3. Then what does Paul do in Hebrews? He goes through the Hall of Fame of Faith, the patriarchs of the Jews, all there in verse 11, the rest of chapter 11, I should say, as he was talking with Jews. And what did the Jews do? They cherished their heritage. They almost worshipped their lineage, worship being Jews. They really cherished their heritage. But what I want to talk about today is to talk as brothers and sisters in Christ to whom He has given us our heritage through the Holy Spirit. What's our heritage? Being born again in the Holy Spirit, by which our faith has come. It has come through the Holy Spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith coming upon us, and then us accepting that faith and Him living in us. And that faith that will grow as our love for Him will grow, as has been planted by the seed of God in our hearts. And it is cultivated in a loving relationship with Jesus through the truth of the Word as taught to us by His Holy Spirit. So the way we learn about our Lord who loves us is read the love letter he has given you. What's the love letter he has given you? The Bible. The Word. You can think of it as an instruction manual, but that doesn't go far enough. It's truly a love letter, because all these things that are described in there was done because he loves each and every one of us. And that's what we hang on to. That's why we do what we do. And then in faith, we move forward as led by the Holy Spirit, and he will empower us to accomplish it. And we too will then obtain a good testimony through our witness as we walk in Christ. But again, not as the coming Messiah, but as the one who lives in us. And then we'll be able to understand what Paul wrote about in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. So we just went through Hebrews 11 really quick. Now we'll look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. I know you wish on Wednesdays I went through chapters this fast, right? Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. And he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are those cloud of witnesses? All those Old Testament saints that have gone before us, that are in heaven right now, looking down upon us, whose faith of the coming Messiah saved them. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross for each and every one of us, and collectively as the church, the bride of Christ, his bride, given to him by the Father. This is the victory we have in Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Through this faith in Christ, we are overcomers of this world, in whom we run that race. We run this marathon. And while we might get distracted from time to time and want to take a break, guess what? He'll prod us. He'll nudge us. What I like about him, he's the good shepherd. He'll take his staff, right, and he'll nudge us. And we're about ready to go over the abyss. He grabs us with that hook and he pulls us back. But he's also got that rod. And sometimes we have to be taught a lesson. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It's because he loves us. And then he puts us around his neck and carries us. But to keep us from going over the abyss, he will discipline us too. Because discipline is also love. Parents today, discipline is love. Believe it or not, don't believe what the world says. Timeouts are fine. But discipline is love. I love my children. You know, I learned so much more from my children than they learned from me. Just how much God loves us by having children myself. Knowing how it hurts to punish him. Knowing how it's like, man, I have to do this. But doing it because the message is clear. It's life or death. It's victory or something less than what he had planned for you. Amen. So, we live, walk, or run the race in Christ, and we experience him through his divine nature in us. Remember, this is what Paul called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we covered this a couple weeks ago, Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. People say, well, I'm not under the law anymore. Well, yeah, you are. You're under a different set of laws. You're under the law of faith, the law of life under the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and the law of Christ, which is bear one another's burdens. But it's not done in and of ourselves. It's all done by the Holy Spirit who is working in us. The law of faith brings us to know Christ, because we're not saved by doing it ourselves. The law can't save us. Only Jesus Christ can. The law of the life of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is live your life in him, and he will produce those divine fruits in the life that is abundant. And then the law of Christ is bear one another's burdens. It's not all about you, because he wrote that law in our hearts. Remember, we get a new heart when we come to Jesus Christ. He takes those hearts of stone and gives us that fleshly heart, the heart of flesh that can be circumcised, so to speak. And he writes his laws on our heart. What's the law? Love Jesus. Love one another. And have faith. You have victory. That's it. So, by walking in the Spirit, we are transformed. His divine nature ripening us, maturing us, as I said, as the apple of God's eye. From little green ones to yellow to red. By experiencing Christ in this way, through the work of His Holy Spirit, we become something we could never be before. Conformed to His image. We become what's known as Christ-like. Not little gods, but Christ-like. The image of Jesus Christ being shown in our lives, through our lives. Peter tells us that having this knowledge of Christ, then, because that's all experiential, knowing Christ and having His divine nature working in us, enables us to claim all of His promises, because that allows us to participate in His divine power and to operate in His divine nature. Remember, when we are born again, the old nature was to be reckoned dead. If you've been crucified with Christ, the old nature is to be reckoned dead. And reckoned is a faith term. You're to, in faith, say, that old flesh is dead. I'm now living in the divine nature. And in that divine nature, you'll realize the promises that He has given us. And that we need to claim those promises for ourselves. Just knowing about them isn't enough. In faith, you have to claim them. Because faith is like a muscle. It must be exercised for it to grow. If you don't exercise it, what does a muscle do? And I'm a pretty good example of this. It atrophies. Right? If you don't exercise, it atrophies. Would you believe I was a bodybuilder not too long ago? That'd take more faith than you got, right? No, I wasn't. But I know that since I've gotten older and I quit exercising, many of my muscles have atrophied. But if you exercise those muscles, just like faith, it grows. It gets stronger. And what do you do with strong muscles? You can do more work. Work being good deeds. Because we love in deed and in truth. So faith is like a muscle. This enables us then to live in Christ's victory in this dark and dying world. Not just living as the apple of God's eye, but dying to self and then producing fruit that glorifies God. Because it's nice to think about ourselves as little apples and what God's doing for us, but it's not all about us. It's about how we can then produce fruit in our lives that will feed and nourish others. An apple tree don't grow apples for itself to feed itself. It produces fruit to feed others, to nourish others. And that's what our life is to do. Rooted in Jesus Christ. So, through exercising our faith in this manner, we know our election and calling is made sure. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. So, let's go ahead and have you turn to 2 Peter 1:3 through 12. And I'm going to cover this in the next 8 minutes or so. 1:3 through 12. Well, actually, let me go ahead and start at 1. I'm just going to start at the beginning. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. What's Peter talking about here? The precious faith that's been given to us. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. What's the picture of living a life of victory? God's given us all things for life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness. That's living a life of victory in Him. Who has called us by His own glory and virtue. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We participate in the divine nature so that we can escape the corruption in the world caused by lust. If you belong to Christ, I'll bet you're busier than you've ever been before. Because what does He do? He keeps you busy. You ever hear that old saying, idle hands are a devil's workshop? Well, God keeps us busy. He keeps us in the Word. He keeps us in fellowship. He keeps us loving one another. He keeps us fulfilling the calling He's placed in our lives and preparing for that calling. We should not be idle in the world, because when you're idle in the world, the lust of the world will start pressing upon you. You'll start focusing on that. The corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. What I want to do is I want to read the Amplified Bible. And I got these handouts that you can have later. But I just want to read what it says in here, because it's really about exercising faith and exercising your life, exercising in your life to have these fruits of the Spirit. It says, verse 5, Amplified Bible, for this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith. What's the first thing you have to do? Is make every effort to exercise your faith, because that's that muscle that's going to get everything else going here. To develop virtue. What's virtue but excellence and resolution? Excellence of Christ and the resolute attitude that He gives us to see things through in Him. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge. And this is knowledge that's gnosis, or inspirational knowledge. This is what we get from reading the Word. As we read the Word, the Spirit of truth teaches us. So we grow in that type of knowledge through the Spirit of the truth. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. How can you overcome the world? A lot of its attractions. How can you have victory over habitual sin? Exercising self-control through faith, grabbing that promise for your own. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, which is patience and endurance for that marathon we have to run. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, devotion to the Lord, loving the Lord. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. Yeah, if you can't love them, at least start liking them. Start hanging around them, because you will love them. You can't help it. God's made us that way. But you got to hang around them. So starts with affection, just like Peter. Jesus asked Peter, says, do you love me? He goes, no, I phileo you. I'm fond of you. I like you. Well, then, at the end of his life, what did he do? He had love. Because it grew. That relationship grows. When we first come to Christ, we don't know him very well. All we can do is really like, kind of like him. But then his love grows in us. And we mature in that love. And we're perfected in that love. And then, as we're perfected in that brotherly affection, then we're to exercise that brotherly affection to develop Christian love. And again, when it's talking about develop, it's allowing the Holy Spirit develop it in you. It's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves, but it is an exercise of faith. What is the exercise of faith that we have to do to enable all these things? Reckon the old man dead. That's the big one. That's operating in his divine nature. That's when his power, his might, his strength, his dunamis power can operate in your life as you've reckoned that old man dead. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle, just as we talked about, or unfruitful unto the full and personal knowledge. Full and personal knowledge, the Greek word is epinosis. Epi means come upon. Like we have the gifts of the Spirit come upon us. Epinosis. Gnosis is knowledge. So we have His knowledge come upon us because we've read the Word and because we've experienced Him in our life. We have full and personal knowledge of who He is. It's not just head knowledge. It's life knowledge. It's knowing who He is because you've lived in Him and Him in you. Epinosis. Knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his own sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous, that's attentive, solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. It says make sure you're calling an election. Well, I didn't think I could lose my faith. I didn't. Once saved, always saved. Remain in Christ. That's what he says. Abide in Christ. You never have to worry about it. Because if you're looking for fire insurance, you're in the wrong place. If you want to look for how much you can get away with and still be saved, go down the street. We're here to make disciples. His word says it's not enough to be saved. You're to abide in Christ, to walk in Him, to run the race of endurance. Because why? We're His children, the children of God, and we're overcomers, not pretenders, not just trying to make it in, because we love the Lord. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Thus there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he finishes it. Peter finishes this by saying, so I intend always to remind you about these things, although indeed you know them and are firm in the truth that you now hold. I want to remind you. And you know what? That's what I want to do. I want to remind you of these things. That's what preaching is. Reminding you of all the promises that he has given us. But we can only claim them through faith. Reckoning that old man dead. Living in his divine nature. That's when his power can operate in our lives. That's when his might can overcome our will. And that's when we can stand in his strength. Amen. I had another 2 pages, but I'm going to quit right here. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we adore you. And those are more than words, Father. They're our life. Thank you for being our God and us being your people. And may you just have your way with us. May we truly surrender. And Father, if there is anyone here who doesn't know you, I just ask right now that they in their own mind, in their own heart, just say, Jesus, help. As your word has said, all who call upon the Lord will be saved. And we trust in that because that's a promise. So that they too may have victory. The victory that comes only from truly knowing you as the Son of God, the Messiah. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for reinvigorating us in the victory that we already have in Jesus. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.